Good morning. It is good to be back. Been away the last couple of weeks. Grateful to Jeff for preaching the last two Sundays. I guess it was yesterday. Noticed we probably put right around 2,500 miles on the car. So did some traveling. We went north about 10 and a half hours, and we got back on Saturday night last week. And Sunday morning, I headed to Alabama, which is 8 and a half, 9 hours away, and visited with family and got back Thursday night. So it's good to be back. By the way, the video, I'm like Andre Dobson. I can't tell you the zone we're in. They showed it on the map, so we're in zone 5, I can tell you now. But I can tell you who our guy is, and that's Joe Gardner. And a lot of you know Joe, and Joe is actually a member here, but is usually preaching somewhere else. But he's one of those guys, one of those zone consultants that we appreciate and who's helpful and that we pray for. If you have your Bible today, turn to Psalm 27. Psalm 27 in verse 8. Psalm 27, verse 8. Most of you probably remember this situation from your childhood, or if you're a parent, maybe it's happened to you recently. When you're talking to your child about something that matters, something that you really want them to hear, and so you say, "Look at me. Look at me while I'm talking to you." You ever do that? Now, most of us have done that at some point. You say that because as a parent, you know that when your child is looking at you, there's a better chance that he or she is actually hearing what you're saying. And so your words hopefully are getting through. And so it's not just when you're scolding them or correcting them, but it's also when you're telling them something they really need to hear, they need to know. That's because face-to-face contact, eye contact, is an important part of communication. There's actually a study that showed that babies thrive when they receive lots of contact, eye contact, with their primary caregivers. And that babies who don't receive that eye contact don't develop as quickly or as well. You also see this when two people are in love. What do? They look into each other's eyes. They gaze into each other's eyes all day long. Billy Graham died earlier this year. Billy and Ruth Graham were married for 63 years until her death in 2007. And in the last years of her life, when she'd become so frail and so weak that there was very little conversation from Ruth, Billy said, "Ruth and I still have a love affair with our eyes." The flip side of this is when a woman who was going through divorce said, "I knew there was a problem when I realized that my husband no longer looked at me, not even during conversation." That's how important eye contact is. Not only between friends or between parents and children, between husband and wife, but there's a sense in which we need to maintain eye contact with our Heavenly Father. There's a sense in which He would say to every single one of us, "Look at me when I'm talking to you." Today we're going to begin a short series about seeking and knowing God. For the next few weeks, we're going to be challenged to put on the back burner everything that we want to receive from God, and instead focus on just being with Him, seeing Him, seeking Him, knowing Him. Psalms 27, verse 8, that I ask you to turn to, says, "My heart says of you, seek His face. Your face, Lord, I will seek." The paradox of not seeking God for what He can give, but seeking God for just the sake of knowing Him, the paradox there is we receive even more. Our life becomes even more meaningful. We have a deeper relationship with Him. Seeking God is the only way to discover your heart's true home. But this series that we're going to be going through is not about the outcome. It's not about the payoff, as much as it's about the process. How do you do this? How do you seek God? How do you know God? What does it mean to really seek God in your life? How do we go about doing that? Most people are driven to seek God because of a need in their life. Something's missing in their life. There are people who've achieved all kinds of success and they've accumulated a lot of stuff, and yet they find themselves empty. They're wondering, is there more to life than this? A few years ago, Tom Brady was being interviewed on 60 Minutes. Tom Brady knows the quarterback of the New England Patriots. They've won all kinds of Super Bowls, played in lots of Super Bowls. He's accumulated all sorts of Super Bowl rings, and they were talking about all these things. And in a moment of just real honesty, he said, "Sometimes I think there has to be more than this." And he's right. There is. Knowing that something is missing, it's at that point that some people are driven to seek God. Others are driven to seek God because of a crisis. They find themselves on the brink, or maybe they've gone over the edge of disaster. In the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles, King Jehoshaphat, yeah, that was really his name, Jehoshaphat, was just minding his own business. He's trying to lead the nation of Judah with integrity, and suddenly he gets news. There are three armies from three different nations that are about to attack, and they're there for one purpose. They want to take him out, and they want to take over Judah. They want to conquer his nation. And the Bible says, "Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord." Sometimes trouble gets our attention in such a way that it causes us to turn our attention towards seeking God. Whatever it is that leads you or drives you to seek God, whether it's a desire for something more, you know there's got to be something more. Whether it's fear or frustration or discouragement or despair, I want you to know that God is pleased whenever we turn our eyes to seek Him. And I want you to know that your search for more of God in your life will not be wasted. It will not be in vain. Because God calls us to seek Him. When we have a desire in our heart to seek God, you should know it doesn't just come from within. God's placed it there. God is reaching toward us, and He's drawing us to Himself. He wants us to seek Him more than we want to seek Him. He wants to know us more than we want to know Him. When the golfer, Paul Azinger, he was diagnosed with cancer in 1993. He was stunned. This is what he wrote. He said, "I was in shock." So he'd gone to the doctor with a problem in his shoulder. And he said, "I thought that Dr. Job would tell me that they discovered some weird infection in my shoulder, possibly even a stress fracture. The one word I never expected to hear from him was cancer." And Azinger went through treatment. He came out of it cancer-free, but he was different. He was different. After it was all over, he wrote this: "Is golf still important to me? Yes and no. Yes, of course, golf is important to me. I love the game. It's how I make my living. But no, golf is no longer at the top of my priority list. In fact, it runs a slow fourth. My priorities now are God, my family, my friends, and golf. Golf is no longer my God," he said. "Golf is hitting a little white ball. God is my God, and God is a whole lot bigger than golf. God is my God." This man discovered that he is what he seeks. He is what he loves. And we love whatever we seek. So what do you seek every day? What do you seek first every day? Well, that's what you love. That's what you love. If it's not God, then what do you need to do to change that? So the book of Hebrews says, He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. God responds to us as we seek Him. As far back as the book of Deuteronomy, God said, "But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find Him if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul, with everything you've got. God's saying, when you seek me with an attitude of, I'm dead serious about this, I mean business about this, he said, your search will not be in vain. You will find me, God says. We can know God. We can really know God. This is what he wants for every man, woman, and child on this planet. It's what he wants for each and every person in here today. And it's there for the asking for each and every person here. If you'll seek his face. If you'll seek his face. Notice that phrase, seek his face. I saw that in Psalm 27. You see it throughout Scripture. Most of us are familiar with this verse. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God wants us to seek his face. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. What does that mean? What does it mean to seek his face? In other versions of the Bible, this verse in 1 Chronicles is translated this way. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. His presence. When we talk about seeking God's face, we're talking about seeking his presence. We're talking about one-on-one, together in the same room, communion with God. Now, an important distinction to make here is that this isn't about wandering around, attempting to locate God somewhere. It's not about jumping through spiritual hoops in an attempt to find him. It's more about acknowledging he's already right here with you. He's already right here with you. He's with you every day, every moment of every day, right where you are. Jesus said, and surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. And he said in the book of Hebrews, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Seeking God begins with acknowledging he's present. He's with us. You ever been with a group of people? They're talking to one another and you're right there with them, but they don't acknowledge you. You say something and it's like nobody said anything. No, it never happened to you. Happens to me all the time. Maybe it never happens to you. But it's happened to me. I also think we tend to do that with God. Well, we go about our daily lives. Even sometimes we can be involved in some kind of ministry. We can even be involved in a church activity. And we live as though God's not even there. Craig Gresham is a pastor of one of the largest churches in the United States. A few years ago, he wrote a book called The Christian Atheist. And he talks about all of this. The subtitle of the book is Believing in God, but Living Like He Doesn't Exist. Believing in God, but living as if he doesn't exist. There are Christians who fall into that trap. It's not about living a life of just really obvious sin as much as it is about going about your life as though God's not even in the room. God wants more than just a Sunday morning ritual from his people. He wants more than your obedience. He wants your devotion. He wants your heart. He wants you. He wants your company. He wants to be with you. He wants you to look at him while he's talking to you. That's where the journey to seeking knowing God really begins. Turn your eyes toward him. Acknowledge his presence. Focus on his presence. At some point about like this, people say, okay, well, what does that really mean? How do I turn my eyes toward God in order to seek his face? Well, in order to answer this question in the time we have left, I want to talk to you about five things you can do. Five particular things you can do to seek the face of God. And they're not magic. It's not a formula, not anything like that. But if you do some of these things or all of these things, it'll be like setting your sail to catch the wind. It'll help you to seek the face of God. First thing I would encourage you to do is cling to Jesus Christ every day. Cling to him every day. It's about putting Jesus front and center in everything that you do. You remember if you're a parent and you've got kids who are very old at all, you remember the first time you dropped off your child at preschool or kindergarten or maybe to babysitter? You remember the child's reaction when they realize you're leaving them behind? Remember what that was like? You want to give them a hug and a kiss real quick, and then you're going to go. But they are wrapping their arms around your knees, and they're crying. They don't want you to go. I mean, just one of those heartbreaking scenes. Preschool here just started, what, 2-3 weeks ago. And you see that on occasion. Children who do not want their parents to leave. And if you're a parent, it's eye-opening because you realize just how desperately your child needs you, how desperately your child wants to be with you. And then after the third or fourth time, you drop them off. They kind of wave goodbye. They go grab a toy off the shelf. They start playing with their friends. And you come back a few hours later, they don't even realize you're gone. Doesn't bother them at all. That's another eye-opener for parents. Your kids don't even recognize that you've been gone. We learn to cling to God with that same desperation that a child feels on their first day of preschool. That same level of intensity, that attitude that says, I can't let go of you. I can't let you out of my sight. In the book of Genesis, when God was talking about marriage, he said a man should leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. The word cleave, it's the same word for cling. And it really is almost like sticking to somebody like glue. Sticking like glue. God said married couples are to stick with one another forever. In Psalm 63:8, David said, my soul clings to you. That's what David wanted in his relationship with God. My soul clings to you. Cling, cleave, same word. It's like glue. And it describes our relationship with God. We need to cling to our Heavenly Father. That means we acknowledge His presence throughout the day. Sometimes in the day, you know, we can get off course, but there are a couple things we can do to help us to acknowledge His presence. First thing is, when you wake up in the morning, before you do anything else, acknowledge God's presence. God, I thank you that you've given me a new day, and I thank you that you are here with me right now. Help me to walk through this day with you all day long. Start a conversation with Him before you do anything else. And then get in the habit of acknowledging God's presence in the evening. After you've turned off the TV or you put down your book, you turn off the light, you kiss your spouse, whatever it is that you do, the last thing you do before you go to bed, go to sleep. In those minutes before you drift off, acknowledge God's presence. God, thank you that you were with me throughout this day. Thank you that you walked with me through this day. And you may say, you know, today wasn't a perfect day. God, I made more mistakes than I can count. You may need to confess some things, some put some things right. You may have forgotten to acknowledge His presence throughout the day. But it's not too late to cling to God. Every opportunity you have, begin to cling to God. As you begin the next day, God, I need your presence in my life. I want to cling to you. I want to walk with you throughout this day. So that's one way we seek God. Here's another way. Seek God through praise and thanksgiving. Seek Him through praise and thanksgiving. David said, enter His courts with thanksgiving, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. An important step to seeking God's face, seeking His presence, is to come to Him with a spirit of gratitude. Forget for just a minute all the good reasons you have to complain. And we all got those reasons. We've all got reasons to complain. Instead, think back on every good thing that's ever happened. Every blessing, every success, every good experience. And take a moment to acknowledge the source behind it all. That's God. James tells us every good gift comes from Him. Just take a moment to say, God, thank you. Take a moment to say, thanks be to God for all the things He's done in my life. For all the good. Seeking God means that we stop for a moment and we stop praying about me, 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 and we begin to not acknowledge Him for who He is. God, You are good. You are gracious. You are holy. You are worthy. And if You were never to do another good thing in Your life, all the goodness You've shown me is more than I could ever deserve. Father, I praise You for who You are, just for who You are. Seeking God involves making every day about thanksgiving, every day about praise. Another way we seek God is through the Word of God. And we're going to spend quite a bit of time in the latter part of the fall talking about this. Well, we're talking about spending time in the Bible every day. And now I know our personal relationship is not with the Bible. Our personal relationship is with our Heavenly Father. But we encounter Him. We meet Him in the pages of Scripture. Jesus said about the Scriptures, these are the very Scriptures that testify about Me. We discover the true nature of God. We discover the true character of God within the pages of Scripture. Through Scripture, we can come to know Him. Not just to know about Him, not just to know the details about this story or that story, but we can know Him personally when we seek Him in His Word. So I would challenge you, open the Scriptures every day with the intent not just to learn, but to have that one-on-one meeting with Jesus Christ, to know Him even better. Another way we can see God is to have fasting, to fast with a focus. Fast. If you want to know more about fasting, let me know. There are some people in this room who know a lot more about fasting than I do because of what they've practiced. And I can let you talk to them because they know a lot about it. But 2 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat, he hears about these three armies that are coming. And they're planning to invade Judah. And the Bible says, he set his face to see God and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. There's something empowering about doing without food. Denying that physical hunger can enable us to focus on our spiritual hunger. You don't have to fast 40 days and 40 nights, but if you fast one day, even one meal a week or two meals a week or something like that, you can say, every time I feel hunger, I'm going to turn my eyes again to God. And then you experience His presence. You know His presence. You can do that with a fast of technology. You can say, today, I'm going to look at my cell phone, my smartphone, only when I get a text or when somebody calls me. I'm not going to check Facebook. I'm not going to check Instagram. I'm not going to look at anything. And when my hand goes to my phone, and I remember, I'm not doing that today, let it be a reminder to pray, to acknowledge the presence of God, to know that You're with Him. I mean, that's something you can try once a week. Maybe a meal once a day without the smartphone, something like that. Fast with a focus of seeking more of God in your life. Fifth way you can see God is to clear out the clutter of your life. Excuse me. Clear out the clutter of your life. For a lot of us, we begin to talk about doing stuff like this. And we say, I've just got so much stuff going on in my life. I don't think I have the time or the energy to pursue that closer relationship with God. But when you take a close look at all your day-to-day activities, you might find a lot of stuff that's unnecessary. You might call it non-essential. Maybe you can get by with a little less TV or a little less Facebook, or a little less Pinterest, or whatever it may be. A little less talk radio. Or a little less of any of these, or all of these things in your life. Because they're cluttering up your schedule. They're taking time. They're consuming our free time. And one way to seek God is to eliminate some of the meaningless activities that fill our time. So we can make room for the meaningful stuff. Because if we keep focusing on the clutter, the stuff that's not as important, it can do damage to our spiritual life over the long term. Last summer of 2017, there's a 53-year-old man named Jeff Murphy. He was hiking in Yellowstone National Park when he disappeared. Park investigators found his body on June 9th. Murphy had fallen 500 feet from Turkey Pin Peak. Took a wrong step, and he was gone. Now, Mr. Murphy was not there just on any hike. He was looking for a treasure box filled with gold and jewels. And it's supposed to be worth up to $2 million. It's buried somewhere in the Rocky Mountains by an eccentric millionaire named Forrest Fenn. Fenn is an art dealer. He's a millionaire. He's in his 80s. He lives in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And in his self-published memoir, he included a poem that supposedly leads to a treasure that's hidden in the mountains. He said, "The ornate Romanesque box is 10 by 10 inches and weighs about 40 pounds when loaded. And all he's revealed is it's in the Rocky Mountains, somewhere between Santa Fe and the Canadian border. It's at an elevation above 5,000 feet. And he said it's not in a mine. It's not in a graveyard. It's not near a structure. Don't go out this afternoon and start looking on the map, okay?" Here's why. Murphy is the fourth man to die searching for that treasure box. We're all searching for meaning in our life. We're all searching for the treasure of life. Jesus Christ promised he is the treasure. And he is. He really is. Any other treasure will lead us astray. So get rid of any of the clutter that does not build up your life, that does not help you in your walk with Jesus Christ. Get rid of the clutter. Limit it. Push it out completely, whatever you need to do. Take a few moments every day to be with God, to be in his presence. And that'll strengthen your relationship. That's why he said, "Be still and know that I am God." These five practices, like I said, there's nothing magic about them. You could put just one of these into practice this week, or maybe all five of them. But like I said, the wind is blowing. All you're doing if you do these things is you're setting your sail and let God work. Let God do his work, because he wants us to seek him. He calls us to seek him. He's drawing us to seek him. Just remember, the seeking God comes down to this. This is the bottom of it. Seeking God begins with maintaining that eye contact. God says, "Look at me while I'm talking to you." And he's always speaking. He's always speaking. Are we looking? Are we acknowledging? Are we seeking his face? We need to acknowledge his presence. God is not far away. Seeking him doesn't mean that you're looking for him, because he's been with you all along. As King David said, "The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand." He is there all the time. God is always with us. His eye is always focused on you. And now he's asking us, turn your eyes toward me. Acknowledge his presence. Pay attention as he speaks. Keep him front and center throughout the day. I'm hoping this week you'll make Psalm 27:8 part of your prayers. David said, "My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek." One reason I wanted to do this series is because of where my heart has been. I mean, the last few months have been a lot of different things going on, and I've managed to get my eyes in a lot of different places and not focus where they ought to be. And one of the things that I did while I was on vacation is take some things with me to help me to begin again to be truly focused on Jesus Christ, front and center in my life. So this is a challenge I'm not just making to you. It's a challenge I'm making to me, because I need this. I need to be reminded of this. So we're going to have a time of invitation now. So I ask you, is there clutter you need to get rid of in your life? There is in mine. Is there something you need to do with Scripture? Any of these things that you need to do? How do you need to cling to Jesus Christ more closely? If I can talk with you about that, if I can pray with you about that, or if the Lord is laying something else on your life and on your heart, something else I can pray with you about, talk with you about, I invite you to come. Stephen, if you'll come to lead us, and as he comes, let's pray together, and then we'll sing, and you come as God's Spirit leads you. Father, we thank you that you call us to seek your face. And you place that within our hearts, within our minds, within our lives, to turn to you and to seek you. So, Father, show us now, each one of us, what keeps us from seeking you? What keeps us from having you front and center in our lives? What keeps us from seeking you first above everything else? Show us whatever that may be. And then let us know how we need to deal with it and how we need to come to you now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing, and you come as God's Spirit leads.
Soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. O'er us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. May
you turn your eyes toward him every day this coming week. Let's sing our benediction.
We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back again. We believe. So let our faith be more than anthems, greater than the songs we sing, and in our weakness and temptations, we believe, we believe, oh, we believe in God the Father, we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered. He's coming back again. That the lost be found, let the dead be raised. In the here and now, let love invade. Let the church live loud. Our God will save. We believe, we believe. And the gates of hell will not prevail. For the power of God has torn the veil. Now we know your love will never fail. We believe, we believe, we believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the realm of the Spirit. And he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection. And he's coming back. He's coming back again. He's coming back again. Because he has said so.